Him.com.
Your last local radio station. And as always, thanks for listening.
The Circle of Friends are sustaining members of WMNF who make monthly contributions for as little as $5 a month. The Circle provides a foundation that WMNF can rely on and build upon. To join the Circle of Friends, call our membership coordinator, Gene Moore, at 813-238-8001 or visit WMNF.org.
Of WMNF. This is Midpoint Thursday. I'm your host, Shelley Reback. Today we're going to be talking about Florida Amendment 4 and the Felon Rights Restoration Amendment. Thanks for joining us. I'm very privileged to have with me in the studio some guests. We have with us Craig Latimer, who is the Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections. Thanks for coming, Craig.
Absolutely. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And we have Jerry Kramer, who's the Director of Communications for the Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections Office.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for being here. We also have with us Dia Suarez, who's an activist with the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. Thanks for coming.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So I want to make sure that our listeners know that we welcome your calls and comments today in particular about Amendment 4 and Felon Rights Restoration. Give us a call at 813-239-9663. So let me start by asking you, Craig. We recently had this amendment go into effect. I believe it was on January 8th. And how was your first day experience with the amendment for registrants?
We had a lot of activity at our offices. That day, we actually registered about 450 individuals, which is a pretty high number for one day or for the month. There was a lot of enthusiasm. There was a lot of people that were very excited to be able to register to vote.
That's so wonderful. Now, you say you had about 450 people register that day. What's your normal daily registration numbers about?
Yeah, that varies. For example, in 2018, all of January, we had 3,600 people registered that month. So that's a great one-day total, though, to say the least.
It is. Now, I'm sure that there were people there who self-identified as returning citizens, which is an interesting phrase. Some people have commented to me that phrase is odd, returning citizens, because, of course, they're citizens all along. People who've been convicted of felonies don't lose their citizenship. But the way I see the phrase returning citizens is that they're returning to a life of civic engagement. Is that how you see it, Dia?
Well, I think that that's correct, but I think that there's also part of our sentence is that we are sentenced to be removed from society for a certain amount of time. And so we are, in essence, returning into society and being responsible citizens. And for a lot of people that have been incarcerated, it's actually learning how to be a productive citizen, because for many of us, we just weren't.
So taking on the responsibility of voting then is one particular aspect of that returning to society, returning to responsibility and civic engagement.
It's monumental. And right. I think one of the big tasks that we're going to have now is to educate people about what their civic duties are, because some people are not aware.
Well, that's very important. How do we know who those people are, Craig? I mean, when someone comes to your office to register to vote, they don't have to self-identify as someone who has a felony conviction, do they?
Absolutely not, and we don't ask either. The voter registration form is very upfront. There's three boxes you have to check on there. One is that you are a citizen of the United States. Another box on there that you check is that you've not been declared mentally incompetent to vote. And the big one for this, the box you check, is that I am not a felon, or if I am, I've had my rights restored. And as long as the person can check that box, then they're going to, you know, the registration, they should go ahead and register.
And so by I've had my rights restored, that means that a person has completed the requirements of their sentence.
Well, according to Amendment 4, it says that you must meet all the conditions of your sentence. And if you do that, then inherently you have the right restored to vote, so you would be able to check that box. The key to it, though, is to make sure that you have completed all the conditions of the sentence. Most of the people should know whether they have or not. They're either still going to be on probation, or they're going to be under the jurisdiction of the court in some manner, and they won't be able to check that box fully then.
So that it's, first of all, the responsibility of the citizen to understand the current status of their sentence. Is that right? Would you say that's right, Dia?
Absolutely. I think that it's the responsibility falls first with the individual, and that obviously if you're the person that is sentenced, you know what the conditions of your sentence are and you know whether or not you have completed it. For example, I was released from Florida State Prison in December of 2017. I have not completed my sentence. I have 5 years probation to pay back restitution. So therefore, I fought really hard to get this amendment passed, and I believe in the amendment, but this does not apply to me as of yet. And I know that, so I can't go and register to vote with a good conscience. And why would I do that when, in essence, it would just be lying? And
it would be a crime, too, wouldn't it?
It could be very well, yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I'd like to take you back, if I can, prior to this amendment. The state already has a process in place where they routinely compare the voter rolls against the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and the Florida Crime Information Center. And that's where they would be able to identify that someone was, in fact, had a felony conviction. And then they would go to the next step, and they would actually pull the records from the county clerk of whatever county that conviction was. And you can see right there whether the person was actually adjudicated guilty of a felony, or they might have had adjudication withheld, which in that case, it would not be a felony conviction. So this is just one more step now when they pull that information, because you also should be able to tell from the records on file at the clerk's office if the person has met the conditions of their sentence, if they've completed probation, if they've taken care of all the conditions of that sentence.
So that's, first of all, the responsibility of the individual, and secondarily, the responsibility of the state of Florida. It's not the responsibility of your office, right?
Correct, yeah. And it's a checks and balance. But, you know, first and foremost, it's the responsibility of that person registering to make sure. And you know, if they're not sure, we've got a great frequently asked questions on our website that people can go to, votehillsborough.org. And there's three things on there. One is a contact for the Florida Restoration of Rights Coalition. They will assist you in determining whether or not you've met the conditions of your probation or of your sentence. There's also the URL for the Hillsborough County Clerk's Office, and it could be any county. Whatever county a person was sentenced in, they can go to that clerk's office to see what the records say. And, of course, last would be the Department of Corrections. You can contact them. They have a website also that you're able to ascertain a lot of this information. But I go back to what I said and what she said. If you were convicted, you know what the conditions of your sentence are and whether you've met those conditions.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little confusing, though, about the withhold of adjudication and what that means. And people are often, I found in my former career as a criminal defense lawyer, that people are sometimes confused about whether or not their sentence was withheld and whether that means they're a convicted felon or not. So I really appreciate that you have given our listeners those resources for people to go to check the status of their sentence and determine whether or not they're eligible to vote. Again, this is WMNF, Midpoint, Thursday, and we are talking about Amendment 4, the Felon Rights Restoration Amendment, with Craig Latimer, the Supervisor of Elections, and Dia Suarez from the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, Jerry Kramer from the Supervisor of Elections Office. We have a couple calls. Let me take one and see what our listeners are interested in. We have Daryl from Tampa. Daryl, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Okay. First, I would like to say to the young lady who's saying, I believe if I heard you right, you're still paying your quote-unquote debt to society. It hasn't finished yet.
Yes, I still owe restitution, and I am on probation until 2021.
And let me encourage you that, life is about choices, and a lot of times we turn left when we should have turned right and vice versa, right and then left. But let me encourage you, keep on keeping on and doing what you're doing. And I was just thinking, even though you're on probation, you still have to pay taxes.
Yes, I do.
Right. This is why I'm 100% for that amendment of people getting their right to vote back. Okay. It's one thing, yeah, you pay your debt to society, and but we don't alleviate you from paying your taxes.
Well,
but, I'm all for that amendment. But before I go, I wish I could say something really quickly about last week's show, what you think. R. Kelly, it's amazing he's been caught up in that. We're talking about criminal activity, but the R&B and hip-hop culture and rock and roll, where you think the term groupie comes from. He's not the first one, R. Kelly, to deal with young pliable young ladies and girls and stuff. I just wanted to say that. Couldn't get in the last show. But, yeah, I'm all for people who have served their time and do whatever.
All right, Daryl, thank you. We appreciate your call. Thanks very much. And we have Bill from Jacksonville. Hi, Bill. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Hello, WMNF listeners around Tampa Bay, the nation, and even the world.
Bill, before you go on, let me just say, I noticed you're from Jacksonville, and of course that's outside of our regular listening area, so I want to make sure that everyone knows that when you're away from your radio, you can still listen in live to WMNF at www.wmnf.org. Go ahead, Bill.
In the world. I'm originally from Seminole, St. Petersburg, but this is a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. I ran for State House of Representatives in 2002. In 2009, I was convicted of aggravated battery and sentenced to 5 years. I lost everything sitting in a jail cell. My home was foreclosed. My mother died, everything. And I was acquitted. I was emergency released from prison. Now, I have only missed like two elections since my 18th birthday. And that was due to being in prison, one of them. And the other one was a missing absentee ballot. Regardless, had I not been acquitted, now I just voted in the last election because my conviction was overturned. However, if I had been forced to serve out my sentence and come out of prison with a felony conviction, my outlook on the community, life in general, would be totally different. You cannot expect somebody, after they have served their time and paid their debt to society, to be ingratiated back into society. They're alienated. You know, they have no say in their leadership of their community, of their state, of their nation.
Well, let's see, Bill. We have Dia with us. Let's see if she agrees with you on that.
Well, I do agree with Bill that that's one of the things that happens psychologically when you are incarcerated, is you're constantly told to shut up, and you're constantly told that you don't have a voice and that your voice doesn't matter anymore. So I think that's the beauty of Amendment 4, is that it restores the voice of 1.4 million people. And what's happened is that not only does it silence us, but it silences our families, because you lose that family unity of talking about elections, or my children never learned how to vote because I wasn't in the household. And so I think that it has a ripple effect, because when you tell somebody that what they say doesn't matter, then it affects how they do everything for the rest of their life.
I think that's a really important point. Let's hear from Tyra from West Palm Beach. Hi, Tyra. Thanks for calling in. You too must be streaming WMNF on the web.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you? Yes, I am.
Great. Well, we're happy to have you. Do you have some comments on our topic of Amendment 4, Felon Rights Restoration?
Actually, I do. I was actually just listening to Bill and Dia speak about pretty much the importance of getting that voice back, because you really are taken out of the mainstream of society with your interaction with people in, you know, one-on-one. You don't really have a community understanding anymore, especially if you are not in society for a prolonged period of time. So I have to agree 100% that having our voice back and being able to take that step to, vote, you know, like Dia said, some of us, didn't vote prior to going to prison, you know, and being able to participate in that now means probably more now than it would have when I was younger, but it certainly is monumental, like she said.
Well, I appreciate that sentiment, Tyra, and I want to step back for a second to something else that Dia said about if it's not in your practice to vote or to engage with the community, and your kids don't see you doing that, then that's another generation that is one step removed from being engaged in the community and from knowing and believing in the importance of voting. And so I found what you said, Dia, and you, Tyra, to be very significant in that regard, because how do kids learn from watching their parents what they do, what they think is important? And I personally think that voting is really important, and I hope that more and more kids will get to see their parents not only return to civic engagement, but also be excited about it. Thank you, Tyra. Is this something that you personally have had experience with?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I spent 14 years in prison, and so now I'm trying to educate my older children into the, you know, how important it is to vote and have that voice to vote. So I absolutely 100%, you know, can relate to the entire process. I want to say that I also agree on the fact that it's, it's our responsibility to find out how to educate ourselves into, you know, in getting involved civically and in society.
Well, I really appreciate knowing that that's something that you've taken on for yourself and for your family. Thank you for calling. Were you also involved in the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition activities in the run-up to the vote on Amendment 4?
I was involved in one of the seminars that we did up in Orlando. I was invited there by the FRRC, so I participated in canvassing and stuff with them, and was very, very happy to invest my time and energy going out, meeting people, and talking about promoting, you know, Amendment 4 and trying to get that to pass.
Now, Tyra and Dia, both of you who did canvassing out there, what was the response that you got from people as you canvassed about the Amendment 4? How did people react to that?
I personally got a lot of positive feedback from people. I think that the only time that I ever got any negative feedback was when it was people that were directly impacted, victim impact. and which is completely understandable. I understand that there has to be a period of healing, and that that there is a victim impact. And but most of the responses that I got when I was talking to people was, they were very supportive. And I mean, obviously, you know, we passed
by big
by
numbers,
a good margin,
right, Craig? It was big numbers, wasn't it?
It was passed well.
Yeah. And you too, Tyra, was that your experience? Did you get mostly positive responses?
I did get mostly positive responses. I want to touch on the fact that you said, you know, there's those generations that get skipped because, you know, people not seeing their parents go and vote for, you know, multitude of reasons. Perhaps they're incarcerated. But like you had said earlier, Shelley, you know, there was those people out there as well that probably didn't grow up with, you know, their family or parents or that guidance of somebody going to vote. So I saw that a little bit too, and that ended in being very enthusiastic participation with the people, you know, once that was revealed as well.
So if I understand what you're saying, that the campaign for Amendment 4 also somewhat activated other people who were not maybe directly impacted by Amendment 4, but who for whatever reason weren't enthusiastic about voting, who all of a sudden became, you know, more excited about voting and more involved in the electoral system and maybe even politics.
Indeed. Yes, exactly.
Well, that's exciting. Now, Craig, before you were the supervisor of elections, you had a background in law enforcement, right?
I did. I spent 35 years with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office.
So from that background, did you have any insight into, in general, not specifically, but in general, the response of law enforcement to Amendment 4?
You know, I was always under the impression that when someone had paid their debt back to society, that they were done, that they were reintegrated back into society. And we saw that didn't happen recently. People were sentenced to an additional 5 or 7 years before they could even get a hearing before the clemency board. So I've always been under the impression when someone's completed their sentence, paid their debt back to society, that they have the opportunity to be reintegrated into society.
Do you think that view is fairly widespread in law enforcement?
I think that it is. I think that it's a lot of people that hold that view. You know, as you said, I spent 35 years, I arrested a lot of people, and I know that I removed a lot of people's rights. And I've worked hard in the last 10 years to make sure that people have the opportunity to try and get their rights back.
And we appreciate that. Thank you, Tyra. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate your input and wish you well. I think we've dropped Tyra. Let me go to Beatrice in Tampa, who's been very patient. Thank you for being patient, Beatrice. You're listening to WMNF 88.5 on your radio dial. Do you have some comments, Beatrice, on felon rights restoration?
Yes, I do. I want to thank our Supervisor of Elections for moving forward with voter registration for returning citizens. And I'm wondering about other counties, whether any artificial barriers have been set up. I know there were rumors after the Amendment 4 passed that they were going to have certain procedures that were complicated to get the right to vote back. But are other counties moving forward with this wholeheartedly, like Hillsborough is?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the brand new Secretary of State, a gentleman named Michael Ertel, is the former Supervisor of Election from Seminole County. And on the morning of the 8th, in his new position as Secretary of State, he sent out an email to all 67 counties and told them that this was business as usual and that all applications should be accepted. I think that, you know, there's a couple of questions that are still out there that may be legal in nature, where individuals may have had their fines or restitution have been turned into a civil lien. So it's civil now and not criminal. So does that mean that they have completed the conditions? And, you know, there's going to be a couple of issues like that that are still going to need to be hashed out, and some court decisions may have to be made on them.
That was one of the questions that I had, too, about what happens when restitution is turned into a civil judgment.
And I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think that is a legal question. I'm not an attorney, and I certainly don't try and give legal advice. But I've heard some conversation about the fact that if it is a civil lien, then it's taken it out of the criminal realms, and the person is no longer under the jurisdiction of a court. So would that suffice? And I think that's a question that needs to be answered.
Does anyone know if that's currently the subject of litigation, or is it a matter in the legislature?
As far as I know, there hasn't been anything.
I think that there would probably have to be someone in that status who registered to vote, whose restitution was in the status of a civil lien now, who the Florida Elections Department said would not be eligible to vote because of that, and then they would have to challenge that through the courts. I think that's probably the process that we would have to wait for until that was clarified. We don't know that the Florida Election Department would say that. We don't know that they would say that that person was ineligible. That has not, to my knowledge, come up. You haven't heard that either, have you?
I haven't, no. Like I said, the direction that we've gotten right now is that we continue the process. And you know, as I outlined earlier, the Division of Elections already has a process in place to identify those people that have been adjudicated guilty of a felony. So they should be able to look that one step further now and see whether or not the person has met the conditions of their sentence. I would imagine, you know, we've got people on our rolls right now that may possibly get convicted tomorrow. And the state's going to continue to notify us, as they have in the past, that there's a felony conviction there. And then there's a process in place where we have to try and communicate with that person. They have 30 days to communicate back to us. If they've got information that could prove to us that, you know, they weren't convicted of a felony or that they've met the conditions of their sentence, then they'll be able to have an opportunity to bring that forward.
Okay, thanks for that information. Thank you, Beatrice. We have Gwen Myers is on the air from Tampa. Gwen, thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, and Happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm enjoying the show.
Well, thanks very much.
Good.
Yeah, we're talking about Amendment 4 and felon rights restoration, and we have with us Craig Latimer, who's our Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections. We have Jerry Kramer from the same office, and we have Dia Suarez, who is an activist with the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition.
Okay, well, hello again. Well, one of the reasons I'm calling is because I'm so elated that Amendment 4 passed. And as we celebrate MLK weekend, the church that I've been a member of for quite some time, Great About the Missionary Baptist Church, we are hosting an MLK Homeless and Community Service Day on Saturday, January 26th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. And our focus at this event is returning citizens' rights through voter registration.
Oh, that's really great. Thanks for sharing that with us. Jerry, you know something about that too, don't you?
I plan to be there. So I'll be there talking to the group along with other people. And we have some people that will have a voter registration table set up from our office so that people can register right there. So it'll be very easy.
That's terrific. So I'm familiar with this this program, and I understand that in addition to Jerry Kramer from the Supervisor of Elections office, you have a number of speakers who are going to be there with you that day, don't you, Gwen?
Yes, we have Joyce Hendry with ACLU, Julianne Holt, Hillsborough County Public Defender's Office, and I just got a phone call to be informed that State Attorney Andrew Warren will attend and speak on that Saturday, January 26th. So we are very elated. This is a win-win for our community, and we want everyone to come out to register and vote, and those who are felons to come out so that they can have their rights restored and be prepared to vote in this March election for the mayor's race and city council race.
Well, thanks for reminding us. We plan to talk a little bit about the March election too today on the show. But thank you so much for bringing this to our attention and the attention of our listeners. So again, we're talking about January 26th. This is going to be from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, a program on restoring returning citizens' rights at the Greater Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, which is 1207 North Jefferson Street in downtown Tampa. And I think you're even serving a lunch, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Well, that sounds like a great program, and I encourage the public to attend. This is part of the Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service on Saturday, the 26th. So thank you, Gwen. We appreciate you calling in with that information.
And thank you. Okay.
All right. Bye. Walter from San Antonio. Walter, you're on the air. Thanks for your patience.
No problem. I enjoy your program, and I enjoy your station all the time.
Great.
Hey, I just wanted to clarify something, you know. Just because you're going to get your civil rights back, that doesn't mean you get all your rights back.
Good point, Walter.
You only get your voting rights back and your right to own property and things of that nature. But you don't get your right to bear arms. You don't get your rights to own a firearm.
That's correct. You do not get your rights to own a firearm.
There are a few other rights that also are not restored. We cannot serve on a jury.
Right.
We cannot run for election. So there are stipulations. It was just Amendment 4. It was simply about restoration of the right to vote. So that is a very good point. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point, Walter. Thanks for clarifying that. It's important that people understand that. It didn't restore all your rights.
I had my civil rights restored back in 83. I committed a felony, and that's been 40 years ago. But you do have the right to own a firearm if it's a black powder or a primitive weapon.
You mean an antique?
In other words, you can go hunting, but it has to be a black powder rifle or firearm.
Right. Anything else, you go back to jail, back to prison. Just be clear.
Well, yeah, you could, yeah.
Yeah.
But I hunt, and I use a black powder gun, and that's also, you can carry a pistol, a black powder pistol.
Well, I would be very careful. I wouldn't take legal advice from Walter, listeners of WMNF.
Well, if you look at FWC rules and regulations, it explains that to you.
Okay, well, I'm not challenging you. I'm just suggesting that before anybody who's a convicted felon goes out and makes a firearms purchase, that they not rely on your advice. That's all. But I do appreciate
that's
you.
That's
you,
good advice.
Yeah, I do appreciate you bringing it to our attention, though. Thank you, Walter. So, so before we move on to the municipal elections, I just want to encourage all of our listeners out there that if you know anyone who is eligible to register to vote, that you take those steps immediately. Craig, do you have any advice about that?
I would encourage anyone to, again, go to our website at votehillsborough.org. We've got a frequently asked question sheet there about Amendment 4, has some great information on it. Again, it has information to be able to contact organizations to assist you to determine whether you've met the conditions of your sentence. And also, just want to remind people, if you have met the conditions of your sentence and you're eligible to register, you can do it from the comfort of your home. Again, just go to our website, votehillsborough.org. You have to have a Florida driver's license or a Florida ID card, and it'll require the last four of your Social Security numbers so a match can be made, and you can register online to vote.
Excellent. That makes it simple and easy. And I also want to encourage anybody who's interested in elections to check out the website for the Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections Office. There's a wealth of information there. One of my favorite things to tell people to do is to look up your precinct and find out where you should be voting, because there seems to be a lot of confusion about the difference between where you can vote for early voting and where you can vote on any election day. And that applies to the municipal elections too, doesn't it, Craig?
It does.
So let's talk a little bit about the upcoming municipal elections. Let's first establish some important deadline information. Like, for example, by what date do you have to register in order to be able to vote in the city elections that are coming up in March?
So the City of Tampa election is March 5th, and you must be registered by the deadline of February 4th in order to vote in that election. In the state of Florida, we have 29 days before the election is when the books close, or when you wouldn't be able to register any further. So you've got February 4th would be the deadline for the March 5th election. Now, we'll also have a runoff election in the City of Tampa. That will be on April 23rd. And you must be registered by March 25th to be able to vote in that election. Obviously, if you're already registered, you don't need to register again. So, and then we'll have early voting. Will also take place for the March 5th election. It'll take place February 25th to March 3rd, 10 to 6 at about 6 locations throughout the city. And again, go to my website, votehillsborough.org. You can see where the nearest early vote site is to you. If you vote on election day, you must vote in the precinct that you reside. And that's what Shelley was referring to. You can't just go to an early vote site and vote. You have to go to the polling site affiliated with your precinct. But if it's too confusing for you, the really easy thing to do is vote by mail. You can request a vote by mail ballot, again, from my website. Vote in the comfort of your home. You can take time to look up candidates, amendments that are going to be on there. This ballot's going to be a long ballot, by the way. There's 18 charter amendments that will be on the City of Tampa ballot.
Now, when is that sample ballot going to be available with all those 18 charter amendments?
It'll be on our website pretty soon, in about a week or two.
A week or two.
Well, just qualifying.
This is qualifying.
Oh, so good. We don't know who's going to be on the ballot.
That's true. So qualifying for the ballot is tomorrow at noon, isn't it?
It ends tomorrow at noon. Qualifying started at noon Monday, and it runs through noon Friday. So we'll know noon Friday whose name's going to be on the ballot.
Whose name's going to be on the ballot and all the amendments or referenda, right?
Yep.
Okay, well, that's certainly exciting. So we'll be able to see who we'll be voting for. Now, I just to be really, really clear about this, all these early vote sites and precincts that we're talking about will be located within the city limits of the City of Tampa. Don't try to go to the Riverview Library and vote for the City of Tampa election, right?
That's correct. This is a City of Tampa election. It's a municipal election. No one outside of the city will be voting for anything. They're not eligible to vote. And these the early vote sites will be at Jan Platt Library, West Tampa Library, the New Tampa Library, North Tampa Library, Cyrus Green Center, and at the County Center downtown, and also at our Falkenberg Election Service Center.
All right, well, that's very helpful to know. So when you register to vote, you will be very, very clear on whether or not you are within the city limits of the City of Tampa.
And if you have a question, call our office. 813-744-5900. We'll be more than happy to help you out.
Okay, and that voice you just heard is Craig Latimer, our Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections. We're here today talking about Amendment 4, Felon Rights Restoration, the municipal elections in the City of Tampa, and all things voting. So if you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 813-239-9663. We have Mike from Tampa on the line. Hi, Mike. Thanks for waiting.
I want to ask on restoration Amendment 4. If you're on probation, you had to complete your probation to vote. You had to not be on probation anymore to vote. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. You have to have completed your sentence, Mike.
Okay. Also, I want to ask about you can't run for office. Now, you deemed to run for president in 1920 while he was in prison.
Also, yeah, that's true. Eugene Debs ran for president when he was in prison, the union organizer, Eugene Debs, the socialist.
Yeah.
That's right. He did.
Yeah, his name was on the ballot.
That's true. That's also, true. He didn't win, though. He didn't win.
Yeah, he didn't win, but he ran. And Leonard Peltier ran in the state of California while he was in prison, and his name was on the ballot.
Well, you know, in the state of Florida, you cannot run for election if you have a felony conviction on your record. Now, you know, you may or may not know the answer to this, Craig, but I wonder if, I guess the Board of Pardons and Clemency is still going to sit on things like pardon applications that don't have to do with voting, right?
Well, you got to remember that this amendment excludes anybody that's been arrested for felony sex crimes or
murder.
So there could still be cases come before the Clemency Board of people that had maybe committed a felony sex crime, completed everything, but they're going to have to go before the Clemency Board to get any rights restored. Not this; they will not automatically have the rights restored under Amendment 4.
Right. And so any of these other rights other than voting, I suppose you could still make a pardon and clemency application. Do you know that, Dia?
Yes, absolutely. If you want other rights restored, like, for example, if you've been, if you've completed your sentence and you have at least 8 years of a clear record, you can go through the clemency process to get your gun rights restored.
Okay.
As long as you weren't convicted of a felony firearm charge.
Right, so, and that's only for state convictions, not for federal convictions.
Yes. So there is the clemency process is still in effect, and of course, like Craig said, there is a percentage of people that have murder charges or felony sex offenses, and those would be considered as case by case, individual cases, whether or not they can get their rights restored to vote.
Okay, well, thanks for clarifying that for us, Mike. I appreciate that. So it's getting to be exciting with tomorrow's qualifying for the City of Tampa municipal elections. We are going to have, I think, a plethora of candidates in some of these city council races, right?
We do. There's a lot of enthusiasm out there. Right now, I think we've already had 5 people that have qualified for mayor, and I expect there's probably some while I'm sitting here that are down there qualifying. We've got numerous city, you know, there's going to be, right now, there's 7 city council seats. 3 of them are citywide, the other 4 are district seats, and there's individuals in every single one of them.
That's terrific. I love to see that enthusiasm for people running for office and particularly for people voting. So let me just say, we are going to have sample ballots go out just like in a countywide election. We'll have sample ballots for the city elections as well.
Yes, sample ballots will be mailed to anybody that doesn't have a vote-by-mail ballot. If you get a vote-by-mail ballot, you're getting the actual ballot, so we're not going to send you a sample also.
Oh, okay.
And then sample ballots will go out prior to early voting, and as Jerry said, they'll be up on our website probably next week, I would imagine, because we'll know what the ballot is established at that point.
Okay, well, that's important. Let me also direct everybody's attention to, while we're talking about websites, to the website for Midpoint Thursday. Our show is now up, and if you're interested in seeing the kinds of things that we're going to be discussing in future shows, go to our website at WMNF.org, go to the page for Midpoint Thursday, and take a look and see what our upcoming shows are going to be about. We have a lot of interesting topics and interesting guests coming up.
So, Shelley, let me just point out, I mentioned that there will be a runoff election for the city of Tampa, and that's not a given. I expect that will happen, but in the city of Tampa municipal election, if one of the candidates in the race does not get 50% plus one, they have not received a majority of the votes. So at that point, the top 2 vote getters will then go to a runoff. And of course, when you've got two people, somebody's going to get 50% plus one. Although I shouldn't say that, it could be a tie. but so that's what will happen though. And with multiple candidates in a lot of these races, I think that we're going to see the top two go into the runoff.
So that applies to the mayoral race and to the city council races.
All the races. Yep. Wow. Mayor and the council races.
Now, let's be real here. Like, do we get a high voter turnout for the city of Tampa municipal elections? Can we do better?
We can always do better. And the city of Tampa is definitely one that could do better. You know, I don't understand sometimes because the city council is the one that's responsible for your taxes if you live in the city. You know, the budget comes out of the mayor's office. So these are people that you should be electing that are actually the ones that are taxing you, making sure that your stormwater is running off, making sure that you have the services in the city that you need. So you should be getting out there and voting. You know, we go into all the schools. We're into all the high schools where we pre-register 16 and 17-year-olds. And one of the things I always like to do is, you know, to create a little enthusiasm, I'll ask the students if they like the dress code for the school. And of course, what are they going to tell you? Not really, right? I said, well, you know, you can change that through elections because it's your school board members that are elected that make these policies. And then it starts to click and they're like, oh, wow, maybe we can get better stuff in the lunchroom. You know, maybe we can do this. Well, I think city residents should feel the same way. They should be looking at this saying, these are the people that are making the rules for the city that I live in. I should have a voice in this because you know what? If you don't vote, then you've got somebody else making the choice for you.
Right. And so these are the offices that are, I like to say, closest to home.
Absolutely.
You know, if you live in the city of Tampa, this is whether your potholes get fixed, your garbage gets picked up on time, whether you can drive through Dale Mabry on a rainy day or get stuck in a
deluge. I used to make a lot of money at Dale Mabry and Henderson.
Yeah, I mean, these are the offices that have the opportunity to help your daily life be better and easier along the way.
I grew up in the area around Dale Mabry and Henderson, and whenever there was a heavy rainstorm as a kid, we used to jump on our bikes and run down there and get a dollar to push the cars out that got stuck.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
And I think they still get stuck.
I'm surprised you didn't go in a canoe. So, yeah, so I think I appreciate that discussion because I do think that anybody who lives in the city of Tampa who has the right to vote, and that's more of us now than there were before, I would encourage everybody to register and get out there and vote for the people that you think have the best platform for making your life better in the city of Tampa.
Let me just point out to you that in the 2011 municipal election, which is a mirror of this one, it's an open mayor's seat and council seats. At the time, we had 189,916 registered voters.
In the city?
In the city. And we had a total of 41,750 people voted, 22%.
That's pitiful.
So again, 22% of the people made that decision for the other 78% of the residents. So the city's bigger now. There's 236,125 voters right now in the city of Tampa. So we're encouraged. We think we're going to, you know, we saw the midterms. We saw a lot of turnout. You know, people, I think, are looking at elections a little bit differently and wanting to get involved and get involved at higher levels. So we're hoping we're going to have a lot better turnout than that 22%.
I hope so. Think about that. That's a very interesting statistic. 22% of the city of Tampa voters made the decision for the other 78%. 78%. So you need to let your voices be heard this time around. Again, give us the dates for that we're looking at for the city of Tampa election.
The election, the municipal election will be March 5th. In order to vote in that election, you must be registered by February the 4th. And again, go to our website, votehillsborough.org. There's a tremendous amount of information on there. As Shelley pointed out, look yourself up, know where your precinct is. Make sure your information is correct. Too. Make sure that if you had an address change, it has been changed. The city of Tampa is a nonpartisan election, so party affiliation doesn't matter.
Everybody will get to vote in that election, regardless of party.
Make sure your information is correct with our registration system.
Now, what about the signatures for people who vote by mail? That's been an issue that's been in the news lately.
Well, you know, there's a great process that's in place. If for some reason your signature does not match the signature that we have on file, we're going to send you an affidavit and give you an opportunity to remedy that situation. But what I like to tell people, because we have online voter registration now, go online, update your registration, your signature. It'll pull your signature off of your driver's license. If you ever forget how to sign your signature, look at your driver's license, because that's the same signature we're going to have on file.
So if you vote in person or by mail, just look at your driver's license, and that'll be the operative signature. That'll be the one that your office will be looking at.
Yes.
That's good, helpful information, too, I think. So, you know, I personally have encouraged people to vote by mail for a long time. I'm now starting to think that the better part of valor is to show up for early voting so that there isn't any question. You show up, you are in person, show up for early voting so that if there's any question at all about your vote or whether or not the information you present is correct, you have time to cure. You can come back. You can go down to the office, to your office, clarify anything, and make sure that your vote counts.
And, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of people, and I mean that literally, over 200,000 in the last election, that voted by mail with absolutely no problem whatsoever. You know, we go to a great extent to make sure that we get the ballots out in plenty of time, and people have a responsibility, of course, to get them back to us in an adequate time also. They can also drop your vote-by-mail ballot off at any of the early vote sites during early voting or at any of our four offices, so you don't have to even rely on the mail. It's a great way to vote, and, you know, in a county our size, where we're approaching now, we're headed toward 900,000 voters in Hillsborough County. We need people to use all three methods of voting. You know, vote by mail, early vote, election day, whichever your preference is, but do one of the three.
But definitely vote if you're eligible.
Vote. If you have a voice, use it, please.
Right. Vote. That's the most important thing. I really want to thank my guests today who are with us here talking about Amendment 4, felon voter registration, and voting in general, the Tampa City elections that are coming up March 5th. I always appreciate having you, Craig. We have Craig Latimer with us, our Supervisor of Elections, Jerry Kramer from the Supervisor of Elections Office. We have Dia Suarez with us from the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. Again, for those of you who have just tuned in, I want to reiterate that the Supervisor of Elections Office website, votehillsborough.org, has just a wealth of information about voting generally and about rights restoration voting. So I would encourage you to go there and get that information, contact those organizations that are listed there if you have any questions whatsoever. And again, I want to remind our listeners that on January 26th, the Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service, part of that program is a program at the Greater Bethel Missionary Baptist Church at 1207 North Jefferson Street on Saturday the 26th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. There will be a program on restoring returning citizens' rights. Jerry Kramer, one of our guests today, will be one of the speakers there, along with Joyce Hamilton Henry from the ACLU, and Julianne Holt from the Hillsborough County Public Defender's Office, and Andrew Warren, apparently, from the State Attorney's Office as well. So the public is invited. There'll be lunch served. It sounds like a terrific program. You've been listening to WMNF 88.5 on your radio dial and worldwide on the web at www.wmnf.org. This is the Midpoint Thursday show. I'm your host, Shelley Reback. I want to thank our guests, our phone answerer, Lonely Jimmy Lyles. Call him up every time we have the show and comment with your thoughts on our topic. And I want to thank Bill Grace, our board operator, too. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we're going to have a show on the national popular vote, and we'll have some guests with us from the League of Women Voters to talk about how you can elect the president with the national popular vote instead of through the Electoral College. So tune in 2 weeks, and we'll be talking about that. Thanks for being with us. This is Shelley Reback. Bye-bye.
This is WMNF Tampa, your last local radio station. Stay tuned to NPR, followed by the executive session hosted by John Gilmore. And as always, thanks for listening. Do it now.